We are on Daf Beis and Beis by the two dots. So we had mentioned yesterday we had the Braisa that had mentioned four exceptions to the case, to the idea of Kasher Zamam, that we don't do Kasher Zamam. And then we had questions why two extra are mentioned in the Braisa, not in the Mishnah. And then Rabbi Kiva came on to the last thing, and Rabbi Kiva said that also that an Eid Zoma does not pay al piatzmo, right? That was the last thing. Mishum Rabbi Kiva Omer, af ein mishalmim al piatzmo, do not pay based on their own testimony. And everyone asked, what's that mean? And I said, we'll get to it, and we're getting to it. So my time is Rabbi Kiva. So what is the reasoning behind Rabbi Kiva, who says that if these Eidim are Modeh, I guess that they're Modeh in a base, and that they became Eidim Zomim, the idea is that they admitted they were Eidim Zomim before Bezdin, I guess, gave them the verdict that they're putter to pay. So Kasava, Rabbi Kiva must hold Knasahu. Rabbi Kiva holds that the payment of the Eid Zomim, I guess the punishment of the Eid Zomim, because applies to me, so also the punishment or payment of the Eid Zomim is a knas, is a fine, and knas ain't adam misham al piatzmo. And when it comes to a fine, a person is not obligated to pay a fine if he admits to it on his own, right? You don't pay for a knas on your own, right? Rashi says, second to last line, the kanas eino mishalam al piatzmo, the ksiv gabi kefel. It says by kefel, when the person has to pay kefel, it says asher yarshiyun Elohim, that he's made a rashi by Elohim by the court prat that comes to exclude l'hamarshiyas atzmo, to come to is marshiyah himself, doesn't have to pay the kanas. So modi b'kanas is pater. So Amar Rabba says teda, you should know, and I'll prove to you that the payment or the obligation by an eid zomim is a kanas. Shahare lo asu maisa. They didn't do anything. Again, the Gemara is again repeating the idea that they feel that the dibor is not a maisa. They did not do a maisa. And nevertheless, and lay lo asu maisa. I'm not sure if it has neherogin or not. Vineherogin umishalmim. That not the same time. They would either get killed or they would have to pay if they became eid zomim. So mukrach that it's a knas that the Torah imposed upon them. Because even though they didn't do any damage, they still have to pay. And Amar Rav Nachman says also, Teda, you should know, Sharei Mamon Biyad Bailim V'Mishalmim. Even when it comes to Mamon, where is the Mamon right now? They caused no loss. They want to extract money from this person. They gave testimony, and we caught them. And the money is still in the hands of this person. They didn't cause any loss. And yet, the Torah says they have to pay. That's indicative of a knas, because they did not do any harm at the moment. Rashi says, Teda, last Rashi, Teda, the knasahu, Sharei hame'idim b'nefesh lo hargu adam, v'lo neherag adam apiyem, v'neheragin u'mishalmin mamon. It's interesting why it says neheragin u'mishalmin mamon at the same time. In that case, they wouldn't pay. They would just have to be killed. Just. So I say, Harei Mamon Biyad Bailim U Mishalmim, and they still pay. Okay. So my nihu dulo asu maisa. I guess they're asking the question. Rashi says, the Gemara says, what does Rav Nachman mean when he says Harei Mamon Biyad Bailim U Mishalmim? It's the same thing. Dulo asu maisa. It's the same idea. They didn't do anything. They didn't do a mice. They didn't take any out. What's Rav Nachman adding to Rabba? The Gemara says, no, that's what the Gemara is. But my nido dlo asu maisa, hai nu d'Rabba. That's the same thing as Rabba. Look, Rashi says, my nio hai mamam biyad bailav, the Gemara of Nachman, hai nu dlo nasa maisa, shadayin lo shileb, el shenig mardino lo shalim. But they didn't pay yet. So it's the same thing as Rabba saying they did do a maisa. The Gemara says, you're right, I'm Ema v'chein amar Rav Nachman. It's not Rav Nachman coming to say something new. He's agreeing to Rabba, just saying it in a different language, right? To lo asu maisa. Fine. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda amar Rav. Rav Yehuda says the name of Rav. Eid zomim mishalem lefi chelko. And Eid zomim pays according to his portion. He pays his portion. So my mishalim lefi chelko. What does it mean? Is mishalim lefi chelko? Pshat means in the case of two edim that were trying to bribe somebody $100, and they became edim zomim. Each one pays 50, right? So my lefi chelko. Ilema the high mishalim palga, the high mishalim palga. If you say that this one pays a half and this one pays a half, Well, that can't be what Rav was saying here, because Tanina, we're going to see that on Friday, right? We see in Daf Hey, Tanina, Mishalshlim b'mamon, v'ei mishalshlim b'malkos. We split up the money obligation, we don't split the malkos. Meaning, again, if it's $100 and there are two people, it's 50-50. It's $100 and three people, it's 33.33% and across the board. But when it comes to malkos, you don't say, oh, you want to mechayev in 25 malkos, you don't split, well, the only maximum you get is 40. So you don't say 20-20, but each one has to get the full set, right? Rashi says, mishalshlim b'mamon, im shlosha edim hein o arba mishalshlim b'nehem. We split it. Beis din nasa shlish b'nehem u'hashvosam b'perion ish lefi chalko. Pro rata distribution, basically. Inami, fine. But so the Gemara says, so it can't be that that's what Rabbi Yehuda, name of Rav, has come to teach us, because we already know that from the Mishnah. Ella, so what must it be? Kegon itazum chad minayu, the mishalim palgadidei. Maybe it's a case where a set of witnesses come, and the other set says, wait a second, Ruvain, who's a test witness, we don't know. But Shimon, only one Yisim Makomploni. So only one aid got huzant, which is our new word. Right? Only one name became an aid zomim. The Gemara says, that can't be either. That can't, and he would only pay his pro rata portion. He wouldn't pay the whole thing. That can't be either, because why? Umi Mishalim. In that case, would he really pay? Vatanya, we have a brisa that says, Ein aid zomim Mishalim Mamon Achi Zomu Shneim. One of the halachas of Eid Zomim is that only become Eidim Zomim, they only get the payment requirement if both of them are becoming Eidim Zomim. So Amar Rava, Rava says, no. So what's the case? I'll explain Rav in a different manner. But Omer, the Eid himself says, Eidus Sheker Heoditi. It's after they testified, these two testified in Beis Din, about the Nidon, the Yischai of Mammon, and they paskin that he's Chai of Mammon. The guy has Charata, one of the Eidim has Charata, and he admits that the Eidus that he gave was false, and via this Hodah, he's Mechai of himself as an Eid Zomim, right? And therefore, he would have to pay half of the of the money they tried to obligate the other person. Gemara says, Kol Kipminei, how can you do that? That's impossible. Why is that impossible? Because Kevet Shehigid, Shuvin Choser Umagim. The idea is that once A gives testimony and it's accepted, he cannot go back and say testimony again. So much so to the point, I think it might be, that if he tries to admit it, we still paskin based on his first testimony, and if he admits it by himself, maybe because of Ein Adam Eisim Atzma Ratsha, Kevet Shehigid, Shuvin Choser Umagim, it doesn't count. The second idea doesn't count, right? So Rashi says, "Kol kemine bitmiya the ki yochuhu lachzer bo v'yipater nido milshalim." It can't be because you kol kemine shehugi higid shemin choser magid. So Ella will tell the case as follows: is be Omer he adnu? He goes. I guess he goes to comes to Beis Din, and he says to this Beis Din, me, my friend, and I, he adnu. We testified falsely. Vehuzamnu, and we were huzamed. Beis Din Ploni, and the other Beis Din. And therefore, he's admitting he's an Eid Zomim, but his friend's not admitting he's an Eid Zomim, and therefore, he should have to pay. So that would be the case. Wait a second. If that's the case, Kiman, that would not be like Rabbi Kiva. This is why this whole coming in, because we just said Rabbi Kiva. That's Deloki Rabbi Kiva. Ni Rabbi Kiva, Ha'amar Af Eino Mishalim Apiatzma. Rabbi Kiva said explicitly in his Brisa that he does not pay when he admits on his own. Right? He doesn't pay. It's a Gmod B'Knas, and therefore he is Pater. Right? So the Gemara says, no, Ella, so what's the answer going to be? But Omer, he adnu, vihuzamnu bebeist imploni, vihuyavnu mamon. Not only did we testify, not only were we found to be Eidim Zomim, they're based in Paskin that we are Eidim Zomim, and now we're obligated to pay. Why does that make a difference? Because that changes the chiyuv, the payment obligation, from a knas to a mamon obligation. Once based in Paskins, now it's a chiyuv mamon. So it's no longer a knas, and it can work for Rabbi Akiva. Like Rashi says, "V'chiyavnu mamon beBeis Din, shehuzamnu vehemidanu hanidon bedin al huzamnu tanu v'chiyavnu beBeis Din." It's interesting. Rashi says that we were huzamnu, and then the nidon took us to court. Seems to be that I thought that if you become Eidim Zomim, what happens is that Eidim Zomim pay, like it's in the same case. Rashi here seems to indicate that hemadnu hanidon bedin al huzam nasanu v'chiyavnu beBeis Din, that he had to take us to a separate court case to extract the payment. Maybe. I don't know.
It's not fast.
What?
It doesn't mean it's not fast.
Yeah, but it's a separate, it's a specific another step. Right. I thought it's like, oh, you want to do some muscle colony? Oh, there's Omim? Now you pay. Like, that's what I...
Or you got to go to the other bank.
Right away. I didn't know that the litigate now has to go start over another case. Okay? At the moment that Beis Din was b'chayiv him, it now becomes a chi of mamon. It's no longer a chi of knas. Because it's no longer his words that are his admission that's causing the chiyuv. His admission is telling us that Beis Din already made him the chiyuv. So that's going to be Rabbi Yehuda. That's going to be Rabbi Yehuda Amarav. Okay. So he comes and admits that he and his friend and Sakadai Dechamina, you would have thought, came to the Chavi Lamotzim Chayvle, since the aide cannot testify about his friend becoming Huzam and obligated to pay, because he's only one witness and he can't come to testify. Maybe he also wouldn't have to pay, because they're a tandem, they're a team, they go hand in hand. Kamash Balan, Rav comes to teach us that that's not true, that even though he's not Neman on his friend, we can believe him about himself, therefore he has to pay half of the monetary obligation to the person. Again, I don't know what happens if he...
When Misa...
I don't know. So Malchus, we said Amish also, they said. So you don't split. What happens in Misa? I'm more concerned about what happens in Misa.
That's also true.
That what he can't admit upon himself because he's not going to get killed, right? I don't know. Okay. The next Mishnah. So there are those who say that the next couple lines mean this Mishnah and the Gemara to the following Mishnah a few lines down are the hardest Gemara in Masechta Matos. So there are those who say that, and I tend as an up to Daf Gimel, I agree with them. Okay. Me'idin Anu b'ish ploni shegirish es ishto. So we have two witnesses who walk up to Reuven and they testify that Reuven divorced his wife. Right? Rashi says shegirish es ishto b'faneinu b'yom ploni, in front of us on Tuesday. V'zeh omer lo gerashti, and he says, I certainly did not. I did not divorce her. The eni chayiv lo ksuba, because when they say that you divorced her, they're forcing him to make the ksuba obligation to pay. And he says, I did not divorce her, and therefore I'm not obligated to pay the ksuba. The nimtzu zomim b'imanu ha'yisem. I don't know why she says that. And it turns out that they are edim zomim. So what are they obligated to pay? So pashas would think they would have to, they're forcing him to lose the 200 in the ksuba. But the problem is that the ksuba is not something that he would never be obligated to pay. Maybe tomorrow he does divorce her, or tomorrow he dies and does have to pay. So there is going to be a limit. You don't have to pay, it's not the entire amount that he asked, that the Zomim are going to have to pay, right? So he says, the Gemara says, I had to write that a little bit. The Gemara says,
Valo. What about paying the hypothetical, would he be paying to the wife or to the court?
If she's alive, she would have to pay to the wife. He would have to pay to the wife. If she's dead, he wouldn't have to. If she's not there, he doesn't have to pay it at all. Okay, but it doesn't go to the court. It's not like Monopoly, we put it in the middle. It goes. You have to give it to the person. Right.
Talking about a divorce.
Right, exactly. So the Gemara then, the Mishnah says, "Valo bein hayom ubein lemachar sofa litein laksuba subasa." In the end, maybe tomorrow or the next day, there is a possibility that he would have to pay the ksuba anyway at a later time. Rashi says, "Kolomar mayishalmu elu." What should these guys pay? If you tell him that they have to pay the entire ksuba, haloshema yamus, maybe he'll die. Oyigarshena hayomu machar v'sofa litein laksuba ksuba. Nimsu shelo hayum avsin also klum, and it turns out they didn't cause any loss. So the Gemara says, omdim, we evaluate kama adam rotz litein ksuvasa shel zo sheimnis alma onis garshav imesa yirshena bala. Basically, we're trying to figure out how much would be a person be willing to pay for the ksuba now? How much a person be paid for, like, I guess it's an option to buy the ksuba now and collect later? How much would the person be willing to pay, and therefore what? Gemara will say in a moment. Rashi says, "Omdim kam adam rotsin b'ksuvas shalzo misapek sheim nis almula onis garsha itulenu hanokeach." He buys it; it's an option. He buys it in case she gets divorced or he dies. This purchaser will collect the inmesa, and if she dies, that's the risk. Your shena bayla v'yasim also shenasim. This guy will lose his money. We don't understand what he's supposed to pay. As of now, the Mishnah seems to indicate that you pay the market price for the option, which is interesting because that's not what he was going to lose. Okay, so the Gemara says, so ketzat shamim. Here's the hardest part. How do you evaluate? Let's just read it. Ketzat shamim, amar chizda b'baal, rav nasim bar oshia omer b'isha, and amar papa b'isha ubik suvasa. Okay, so a little bit outside, when it comes to figure out what the, there's an option value in the ksuba. There's an option value on two sides. There's his rights and her rights. So her rights are pretty easy. You buy a right to collect if she survives, and that you deduct that amount from the price, from the amount, from the ksuba. The ksuba is $1,000. And the option price would be 40%, so you would pay 400, there would be 400. You'd have to pay him 600, because he theoretically is not losing that 400, because he could go, he'd be willing today to go buy it, to buy her out. That's the option price on the women's side. We'll see this long, obviously this long Rashi, we'll try to go through it. On his side, he could also buy an option from the husband. The option from the husband would be, during the lifetime of the marriage, the husband has the rights to use the field. Right, you get the peros, and he's also muksak. So the person would buy the rights to use the field. Now Tosas points out that his option is more valuable than her option because two things. Number one, he has the ability to use it right now, the usufruct. He has the ability to use it right now. Also, it's not mechusar gavaina. You don't have to go to court to get it. If and when something happens, let's say he divorces or he dies, and the yarshim don't want to pay, he doesn't want to pay, she has to go to court. As opposed to him, if she predeceases him, then he doesn't have to go anywhere to get the stuff because it's already in his possession. So his option, Tosas points out, is a little more valuable. So what would happen, whatever his option would be, whatever the option price is, you deduct that from the amount that's going to be paid. So if we look at Rashi a little bit, we'll see how far we can go into Rashi. Rashi says Ketzer Shamin. And then you have Rav Papa in the end, who says Yakovit from the Ksuba, but he evaluates the Ksuba differently. He just indicates that when you evaluate what the Ksuba is worth, you don't include the Nixei Mulog, because the Nixei Mulog fluctuate between Ksuba, and you don't know what, it's not necessarily written in the Ksuba, so that's not included in the evaluation of what the Ksuba is, so that's not part of the calculation.
So the value of his depends on her assets also. The Ksuba has a fixed value.
Correct.
At a certain amount of thousands of dollars.
Correct.
Now, if she's poor, she shouldn't bring much to the marriage.
Correct. That's where Rapapa comes in. Rapapa says we don't do that. We only do that based on the base ksuba. Rapapa says you only do based on the base ksuba, the value of the ksuba that's written inside. So what's written in the ksuba is...
Her is more valuable than his.
No, she would still be less valuable because it's only going according to the base, according to Rapapa. Oh, I hear what you're saying. You're saying that it's a value... Yeah, but Tosos says that still the ability to use it now and the ability to have it collected right away adds value to the ksuba. So Tosos seems to indicate that it's worth 10 mana more. But how he does the calculation, I'm not exactly sure.
Then it's going with the base value only. Has to be.
Why?
Because if she's bringing inside a fortune of money and he's got all these properties that he's now collecting off of.
Right. His is worth more.
Anybody else buying an option on that is going to pay much more.
His is worth more.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. If she's rich, then he's...
But they always said that his is worth more.
No, not set small, not more. It could be substantial.
It could be, and that's where our Papa says, we're not doing that. We're only doing it based on what's the base, not the same Malog. The Tzom Barzel and the base Ksuba are written, but the Malog are not written inside, so maybe we make the...
You understand that the reason why... You have to pay ksuba in this case because he testifies that they're still married, which means that he never paid the ksuba. That's the only reason why the whole thing with ksuba comes. The agent didn't say that he's got to pay ksuba, he didn't pay ksuba.
Yeah, the agent doesn't mention that. They don't mention that.
It's only because he came back with a counter argument, you agent were wrong, that he's still married. And once he says that, he's minded that he never paid the ksuba because if someone's still married,
right, but they're saying that the loss is not the entire amount, but the loss that they're only trying to cause would be this differential, because theoretically, he'd be willing to buy the option and buy her out at that price.
If he never counterclaimed that he was still married, there would be no claim that he never paid the ksuba.
If he never counterclaimed
that he was still married, the whole concept of him having to pay the ksuba wouldn't be.
If he never counterclaimed that he's still married. And the Edom weren't made into Edom Zomim, then you have to pay them.
No, and the Edom made Zomim, he just wouldn't be married anymore.
And the Edom...
If he never counterclaimed, this is the Mishnah specifically, then he counterclaimed that he was still married.
The Mishnah doesn't say, Rashi said it.
No, There was zoning. It doesn't matter what he says or doesn't. If there was zoning,
the Mishnah says made on response. The Kibbutz says she's so below nasa
luxu. He had the conclusion that he said because he said right.
Right. Okay. All right. Let's read this Rashi. His Ketzat Shomim. Right. Because we're ready. Wait. Ketzat Shomim. Klomar my kamechayav luhu lemesav. What do they have to pay? The Yesh Liftor Mishnah Steinu Lishnei Sodim. We could try to explain our Mishnah to two sides. Ketzad, meaning Hare Yesh Li Ishu Isha Zechus Sotle Pesu Vazo. In man and woman, each have a Zechus in the option of the Ksuba. He Mitzapah She'im Yomus Oyu Varshana. She's waiting for him to die or divorce her. Tigba Skula, meaning not waiting, but if that happens, she collects it all. V'hu Mitzapah She'im Taimus Ta'achaya B'chayov Yorshana. And he's Mitzapah that if she dies, he Yarshans all the Zmechasim. So and Rashi says, Yafa Kosu Kuso Mikosu Kuso, his option is more valuable than hers. Shehu Ochal Peiros Harkarka, he's eating the Peiros right now. Hamayuchal Diksuvasa Tamid Velohi, he's eating it and not her. Va'od, Shehu Muksak Va'omid, he's Muksak and standing. Vahim Mikhusar Gavina, she has to go collect. V'im Bo Limkor La'acher, and if they're going to sell it, La'acher Zoz Chus Sveko, Vezez Chus Sveko, he can sell his option, or she's going to sell her option. Shalom nimkar b'yoser mishalah. His will sell more. He says that's the market price. Right, but listen to the masnisa mashmishom is going to say, okay. And then he says,
what is he selling? What is he selling?
He's selling the right to use selling the right to use the property now.
Future options.
No, his is to use it right now.
But she's selling a ksuba. He's selling what?
Right? The ksuba also. In the ksuba, it says that he can use the nixay malok. He can use it. All the property. It's home barzel. It's his use.
That says in the ksuba.
Right. It's his usage. And then if she dies, it's his. So he's selling the right to inherit that as well. Okay. So he says, V'yesh lomer d'hachikamer. Look at 4 or 5 lines in. Shamin zuchus sveka. We look at the zuchus of her option. Kama adam rotsa litain betovas hana shala. Va'osa lo yishalmi. You don't pay that full option price, the option price to the husband. The chol hashar yishalmi. It's the remainder that you pay. The difference between the ksuba value and the option value is what you pay to the husband. Shekol hashar hayum afsidon osa be'edusan. Because the remainder is what they would cause him to lose. Aval osan damim lo hayum afsidon osa. But that price, the option price itself, they're not causing loss. Sharigam ata. Because right now, because yishalmi, when they become yishalmi, im haisa rotsa, if he wanted to, l'machra yitin lo habal barotsa tovas hana lo. So he can buy her out. It's the same thing the other way. Around Odilma, Zuchus Sveko. Maybe his option, Ka'amar, Masnis and Lashayim of Osan Dami Nula Edim. And that, the difference you pay the Edim. Velo Machai Velo Kule Hai, Shiit Nukolik Suba, Chus Mitovas Hana, the Shem Aloha Yenisab, it's okay. Okay, fine. We set it outside, we'll just go weiter. But if the Rashi goes through, we'll try to explain. It's basically you're paying the difference between the option value and the full value of the ksuba, and Republicans comes to say that the full value of the ksuba is limited only to the exact amounts that are written, not the nechsei malog, which are not necessarily written inside, the values that are written inside the ksuba.
Yeah, there's a major problem with this, because this is not a market value that you can actually determine.
Why not?
The future option, that how much the husband will be willing to pay to get to buy the option of not paying the ksuba, is not something that you could. It's very subjective and is not a current type of thing. It's first of all, it's a rare occurrence. Second of all, it varies from person to person.
Right. So you have to look at the ksuba that's in front of us. What's the option value on this ksuba?
How do we determine that?
You go to the marketplace. What would somebody guy? What would
some marketplace for this?
Apparently so. There's a marketplace for soybeans. I guess there's a marketplace for ksuba. So you know okay. Next, similar mission, huh? Me'idim anu v'ish ploni shu chayev l'chaveru elef. We testify that Reuven borrowed $1,000 from Shimon, al menas litno lo mikan v'shlosh dem yom. And the payment terms is a 30-day note. 30 days he has to pay him back. Right? V'hu omer, and Reuven comes and says, no, that's not true. It's mikan v'ad esra shanim. It was a 10-year term loan. 10 years to pay it back. It's a better deal. The 10 years to pay it back. So omdim. So we evaluate. So what do they cause him to lose? He admitted to the $10,000. It's the time value of money that they caused him to lose, right? So the opportunity cost, I guess. So omdim. Kama adam rotsa litain v'hiyu biyado elav zuz bein nosam mikan shloshim yom bein nosam mikan esr shanim. Sounds a little bit like interest, but I'm not sure if it's rubbish or not. He says, basically, you evaluate how much a person will be willing to pay to extend his loan from 30 days to 10 years.
Yeah.
And why is that not rubbish, though?
Why is that not part of a matana? The ksuba, he's giving her over to
this isn't a ksuba. There's no ksuba here. There's no ksuba here. There's a loan. There's a loan. There's a loan. May eidim on ubi ploni. What ksuba? We testify. Read the Mishnah. May eidim on ubi ish ploni. So chayev lechaveru elav zuz. I'm not leidom mikan viad shaloshim yom. Okay. So that basically what he's the eidim are causing the loss is that the value that someone places on having a loan extended for 10 years as opposed to 30 days.
Right. Well, if he didn't need the money, he would have never borrowed it to begin with.
But why is that relevant? Why is that relevant? The question is, what are you causing him to lose? You're causing him to lose $1,000? No, he admits the $1,000. He admits to that. You're causing him to lose to pay back the $1,000 in 30 days as opposed to 10 years.
Whatever he bought with $1,000, he has to go and sell to market very cheap and pay the price back. Obviously, there is value.
Right, there's a value, right, because it's the opportunity cost that he would lose. It's the inflation, the interest income, it's the all the opportunity costs that he has for having to pay back.
Or the fire sale he has to make.
Right, so that's all included in the opportunity cost. What opportunities he would have had to have the money for an extended period of time. He could have invested in, like you said, he could have invested in a 10-year note, and now he has to... What?
You have to get away from interest. It has to be,
he invested in the guy's company's 10-year note, and now he took that back. What?
There is a reason it's not
written. It's not our sugya, but I guess. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. So Yehuda says the name of Shmuel, which is interesting, because we just had Rabbi Yehuda Amarav in the beginning. Rabbi Yehuda was the Talmud of both Rav and Shmuel, and here on the same Amud we have Rabbi Yehuda quoting Memorus of both of his Ravayim. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amarshmuel.
It's money like that, that's why.
Right. I don't think there is a Rashi on the Mishnah too. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Hamalva es chavero le'esra shanim shviish mishamtato. So if I give a loan to somebody, a 10-year loan, and it's due in 2027, nevertheless, come Shemitah, whether it's before the end, no, shviish mishamtato, he doesn't have to give back. Shviish knocks out the loan. Don't give 10-year loans, because Shemitah is going to knock it out. Even though the Gemara says why. The problem is, when it comes to Shemitah, you're not allowed to go get the loan from him on Shemitah. Let me finish. But here, you're not going to collect from him on Shemitah. Nevertheless, when you do go collect from him, what you are collecting is a loan that Shemitah passed through. And that becomes a problem.
But he can pay it back if you want.
So machlokas, that's not necessarily so true. If there's no loan, then why does he have to pay it back?
No.
That would be a matana. But the point being is that the lender cannot go grab it.
No, of course not.
That's the machlokas that we're coming up in the Gemara.
It's a prusbul, so he has to...
Okay, prusbul, everything is different. We'll get to the answer. So we'll see that. But baseline, and make a loan without it. Not. Rashi says, V'afagav dahashta, even though now, b'shvi is lo karina be lo yigos, on Shemitah itself, is not lo yigos. He's not going to collect on Shemitah, because he does not do. It's not due yet. Share im the naxo below shvius, namil enu yachol. Because even if the seventh year wasn't, let's say it wasn't Shemitah, he still could go collect from him because it's not due yet. So lo amrina came to lo karina b'le yigos, lo karina b'le shamot. The sof also b'le yigos. In the end, you'll end up being collecting. And I guess collecting on a loan that extended through Shemitah is considered lo yigos. The Gemara says, so Masir of Kahana, that's why it's brought here, what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah said, If Shemitah is Meshamet, a 10-year loan, or any loan that extends over the Shemitah year, and the Eden Zomim come and say, nah, it's not a 10-year loan, it's a 30-day loan, so what are you worried about the difference in opportunity costs? They're causing him to lose the entire value of the loan, because he wouldn't have to pay it back.
Right.
So what do you mean to say it's only the opportunity cost? You're causing him to lose the entire value of the loan. So that's a kasha. What are you telling me that Shemitah is not Mishametes? Our Mishnah seems to indicate Shemitah is not Mishametes, because otherwise he'd be causing him the loss of the entire, if it was Mishametes, to be causing the borrower the loss of the entire loan.
Who would give a loan like that? 10 years
without a very, very nice guy. So Amarava, Amarava, Hachav Mayaskinon, what are we dealing with over here? Someone mentioned before, b'malvel amashkon. Someone was malvel amashkon. He collateralized it. So if you collateralize it, we say in the mashkon is the payment. So teray as if it's paid back. Or b'moshe shtarosa lebeizdin, or hand over the shtar to beizdin. Rashi says moshe shtarosa lebeizdin is approachable. Tosfos points out can't be, because in the Mishnah and Shvius, it mentions Prozbul and Moshe Saros Lebezin as two separate items. So that's all goes into the whole sugya. What's the difference between Moshe Saros Lebezin and what's Prozbul? Moshe Saros Lebezin, maybe it didn't deraisa. Prozbul, you don't give it over to Bezin, you hold on to it, so maybe that's the derabban and ke'in deraisa. That's how. So, what is that? At the air conditioning?
Yeah.
No, that doesn't sound good. Okay. So Amar Rava, how come I skin but Malva Lamashkon Moshe Shtaros LeBeisdin the Tanakh, because we have a mission that says Amalva Lamashkon the Moshe Shtaros LeBeisdin Amishamtin. Then there's no Shemitah, so that's so much before. Why did he make the loan? He made the loan because he did it the proper way to protect himself. And if he didn't, either it was really nice or really foolish. Bottom line is the case over here is the reason why our Mishnah has the loan extending. Our Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about a case. It's that Shemitah is Mishametes, a 10-year loan. Our Mishnah is not Mishametes because he was Moshe Shtaros LeBeisdin, or he took a collateral.
Okay. What's the Malva saying in the law? No Malva here? What's the Malva saying? How many years in terms of the...
The Malva is bringing the Edom.
The Malva is bringing the Edom.
So Ika the Amri, those are just sort of the opposite. Amr Yehuda Amr Shmuel, Hamalvas Chavir Esher Shanim, Ein Shvius Misham Toto. He says that Shvius is not Mishametes, and he's going to use our Mishnah as a proof. And then I'm going to say, all right, so the Afagav to Asa de Lo Yigos, even though eventually it'll come to Lo Yigos, is what someone was mentioning before, but Hashlami Lo Kamid Be Yigos. Just look at the here and now. Look at Shemitah. When it comes to Shemitah, can you go collect the loan? No, because it's not due yet. When am I collecting the loan? 3 years later, that's not Lo Yigos. The only issue is to go collect the loan in Shemitah. Just the complete opposite Sarah that we had before. So Amar of Kahana, Rav Kahana says, we also have a Raya from our Mishnah. Af Anan Nami Tanina. We also learned this in our Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says, Omdim, we evaluate Kama Adam Rotsu Tain, Liu Elv Zuz Biyado, Bain Li Tain Mikan, Shloshim Yon, Bain Tain Mikan, and Eshashanim. Again, we look at the opportunity cost between what a person would want to do to have to pay the loan for 10 years or have the loan for 30 days. The Yamar Shmiz Mishamto, and if you say that Shmiz is Mishametas, the loan over 10 years, Ku Nami Boil Shlumile. Then what the person, the Edom, will cause this guy to lose is the entire amount of face value of the loan. Because he would have, now, if he's for 30 days, he has to pay back the whole thing. Unless the 30 days straddle Shemitah, I don't know. Okay. So Amar Rava, Rava says, no, it's not a Raya. You could say that our Mishnah does not a Raya that Shvius is Mishamto. Really, you could say Shvius is Mishamet alone. But Hacha, B'mayaskinon, B'malva L'mashkun Moshe Shtaros LeBeisdin. Talking about our Mishnah is different. Because our Mishnah, the reason why it's not Mishametes is because there's a Mashkon or there's Moshe Shtaros LeBeisdin. It's not a Malva L'mashkon, but Moshe Shtaros LeBeisdin ain't Mishamtin. But if you have Malva L'mashkon or your Moshe Shtaros LeBeisdin, Shvius does not kick in. The Shvitas Ksafim does not kick in. So no raya from our Mishnah, one way or another. And there's no raya, which way Tosfos points out, on top, Ika the Amri. Ika the Amri, Amalba Chaveirul Esra Shanim Ein Shvius Mishamto. So he says, Amar Rabbein Yatam, the halacha kalishna basra. The halacha is like the lishna basra, which is the Ika the Amri, who says that Ein Shvius Mishamto. That if you have a 10-year loan, or any loan that the due date is beyond Shemitah, it's not, Shemitah is not Mishamet. The Hachanami Masnisin Misaile, because we would rather have the Mishnah be a Siyua, right? The Kasha Lishna Kama, Ubaz Haro, Sigiri Natan, Zman Eser, I don't know exactly what that says, but he seems to indicate, I don't know what the Psak is really, but.
Wouldn't they just.
What they would do or could do, fine. It's the case that they're talking about now is a guy makes a loan for 10 years.
All right.
Who's they?
The Zomerman said he only did it for 30 days.
Correct.
So then make them pay it now, pay the lender now, and then the lender...
Well, what they pay? Paying what to the lender?
Money.
How much? How much?
That he has to pay it...
He admits that he owes the money.
Yes, but for 10 years.
Correct. So the Mishnah exactly says that. The Mishnah says they only have to pay the difference in value between what a person would do to have the loan extend for 10 years or for 30 days, not the entire value of the loan.
No, what he's saying is instead of giving the penalty, you just give now the shtar to the zomim, tell you paid him now, and you go collect in 10 years from now. That's your penalty.
But that's not kasher zomim.
That's right.
Well, tell me what they do.
That's not what they wanted to do. It's not kasher zomim.
Okay. Yeah.
V'amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Shmuel. Ha'omer l'chaveiro. Is that another question? I missed. Oh, okay. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Ha'omer l'chaveiro. Almanas, so again, someone says, I'm lending you money. Almanas shalot tishamteni shvius, on condition that shvius doesn't impact the loan. That's what I'm saying. Nevertheless, shvius mishametes. The shmita would still have the impact on the loan. Lema kasavar, Ramar says, does this mean to say that Shmuel, Lema kasavar Shmuel, does it mean to say that Shmuel holds that masne al masha kasavar torahu, the kol masne masha kasavar torah to no batel? Since the guy's making a t'nai against the Torah rule is that shmita is mishametes. So may Shmuel say that if you masne masha kasavar torah, the t'nai is batel? That can't be, because we have another case. We have another case why a person, ha'omer lechavero, I'm selling you this item, al menashe ein lecha alai onoa, on condition that you do not have an onoa claim against me, a claim that I overcharged you. And nevertheless, over there, Rav Amar yesh lo alav ona, Rav says that you still have an onoa claim, u'shmuel Amar ein lo alav ona, he doesn't have an onoa claim. So which way is it, Shmuel? Onoa is a din d'oraisa? Mishametas din d'oraisa. Why by Shmita did he say that you cannot make the t'nai against it, and by onoa you can make the t'nai against it? So it's all going to come down to the language, because words have meaning, the lawyers always say. The words have meaning. The Gemara says, Ha'itmar Allah, they answer this, Amar of Anon, L'dimi far shalei minei Shmuel. To me, it was explained, the words of Shmuel, as follows. Al menashe ein lecha alai ona, ein lo alav ona. If he says, or let me read again, Al menashe ein bo ona, harayish bo ona. Depends on how he words it. If he says... That's good. That's really getting bad. If he says that there is no, that Onoah doesn't exist, that he can't do, because Onoah exists. If he says Onoah exists, but you're gonna waive your claim of Onoah against me, right? You're gonna waive your claim of Onoah against me, that he's allowed to do. So same thing too, by the Shemitah case. In the Shemitah he said that the Shemitah is not going to be Mishametes. That he can't do, because Shemitah is Mishametes. But if he says, we're going to make it tonight, that despite the fact that Shemitah is Mishametes, you're still going to pay me back nevertheless, then that works. Let's read inside again.
How do I know language? How does
it flow around that? Well, we read the Gemara. The Gemara gives the language. Ein lecha alai ona. If he says, on condition that you don't have an onoa claim against me, ein lo alav ona. He doesn't have an onoa claim. Al menashe ein bo ona, condition that there is no ona, then yesh bo ona. So too here, Bachanami. Al menashe lo tishamteni bashvius, on condition that shelo tishmateni, that you will not bashvius, that you will not pay me back on shmita, then ein shvius b'shamta. The shmita doesn't work because he's making the tanai in the borrower. But if he says al menashe lo tishmateni shvius, on condition that shvius doesn't be mishamate the loan, that's no good. Then shvius mishamto. So, because it's basically how you... You can't do that. Right. Okay. Tanya. Another din in loans. Tanya. Hamalva eschavero stam, eino rashai litovo, pachas mishloshim yom. Stam hava, without a term given, is 30 days. That's a stam hava, is 30 days. Sava rabba barachana kamela rab lemeimar hani milu b'malva b'shtar. He thought to say that's only when it comes to a milva b'shtar. The low of it inish the torah the cost of star but simit losin yom, because nobody, I guess it's a zaka, that person is not going to go through the tircha and pay all the fees and to write a star for a loan that's any less than 30 days. Aval milva al peh, but a milva al peh with stam low, we wouldn't say 30 days. I don't know what you would say this, but we'd say we wouldn't necessarily say that that's the 30 days. So amar le rav, so rav says to rav bar chana, hachi amar chavivi. This is what my uncle said. Rav's uncle is Reb Chia. So this is what my uncle, I think that's right. Yeah, Chavivi is Dodi, and his uncle is Reb Chia. So echad amal v'shtar v'echad amal v'peh. No difference. Stam halva, whether it's written in the shtar or not written in the shtar, is 30 days. Okay? Amra le Shmuel Rav Masna. So Shmuel says to Rav Masna, la tesev akarach. Don't sit down. Don't sit down. You stay on your feet. Ad mefarshes la lahay shmaita. Until you explain to me this halacha, minah milsa the Amar Rabbanan, what's the source? Where do we learn that hamal v'eschavero stam eino rashay l'tovo pachas mishloshim yom echad amal v'shtar v'echad amal v'peh? From where is the source that if you make a loan, a stam loan, it's 30 days, and it doesn't matter whether it's milva b'shtar or milva v'alpeh. So Amar Lei, so Rav Nasna says back to Shmuel, the source is as follows. Tiksiv, interesting source. Tiksiv, Karva Shnas Hasheva Shnas Hashmita. The seventh year, the Shemitah year is coming close. Well, we know that the seventh year is Shemitah, he's going to ask. What's the extraneous words? Mimashma Shenemar Karva Shnas Hasheva. Eini Yodeya Shishnas Shemitah. Elamat Tam Lomer Shnas Shemitah. So what does the Shnas Shemitah come and tell us? Lomer Lach. There's another instance where there's something that's similar to Shemitah, meaning where you another instance where you can't make a claim to get paid back. The Ezezo, and what's that? That's Hamavas Chaveiro Stam. That's if you make a loan to your friend Stam without expressing the due date. Where they get that extension from, I don't know. She'ein Roshay L'Tovu B'Chokos Shloshim Yom, but you're not allowed to collect from him until 30 days passed. The Amar Mar, because Mar says Shloshim Yom B'Shana Chashuv Kashana. It was 30 days. Is considered a year. I'm not sure where that comes from. Maybe in the bottom he writes that. Where that's, I don't know where that's from. 30 days is considered a year. He just says it's time. I don't know what the source is for that. So basically,
that got to be 200 years old.
What do you mean?
37 years.
The 30 days.
30 days is a year.
Is a year, like dog years. I don't know.
It's 150 years old.
No, 30 days is equivalent, has the halakhic equivalence of a year.
Year.
As halakhic.
By
Orla?
One month is considered like...
Yeah, but that... Okay, so 1 month, because... All right, so if it's planted in Elul, so he says... So you see in Halacha the idea that 30 days can constitute a Halachic year. Okay.
You can do it by kings also.
What?
You can do it by kings.
Right, but it all depends on when the 30 days is for that. But, okay. Fine. Okay, next. Let's do one more. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. I'm not exactly sure why this is here, other than it's another statement of Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. This, you can spend a lot of halacha Shabbos here on, because this is the source, the issue of opening bottles and bags and cans and stuff like that on Shabbos. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, HaPoseach Beis HaTzavar B'Shabbos Chayiv Chatas. If someone opens the neck, right, you have a think of your tzitzis that doesn't have a hole in it. You just have this one piece of cloth, and you cut out the neck, and now you can put it on, you can put the cloak on Shabbos, you're Chayiv Chatas because you're Metakan Kli. You made a Kli on Shabbos. So Maskif lo Rav Kahana, so Rav Kahana asked the question, why are you chayiv mishum takin kli, v'chima ben zeh l'megufas chavis? Why is this any different than the guy who slices open the top of the barrel? Why is it any different than the slice of the barrel, right? Let's see what Rashi says. Ha-poseik bei savar sh'asa peh l'chol chadosh, chayiv sh'tikin kli. And then Rashi asks, v'hadu nakit l'hacha, why is this written in here? Mishum to amra b'hudu l'el, ha-mavas chavit l'eshashanim, v'osei Rav Kahana, nakanam l'kulu ha-nechmil, v'shmaita min Rav Yehuda, v'osei Rav Kahana. So we're just going through a list of statements that Rav Yehuda made, and that was questioned by Rav Kahana. So this is another statement that Rav Yehuda made that's being questioned by Rav Kahana. It's not topically related, it's just based on who said it. The Gemara then says, V'chima ben zel mekufa sechavis. Look at Rashi, says, Da'amrina v'perek chavis in Ishbaro, saying in Shabbos, Te'metiz rosha b'shabbos b'sayif liftoch ha-sechavis. You could chop open the top of the barrel. Why is that not tikkun kli? So the Gemara says, makes a difference, we all know halakha, makes a difference whether the thing was separated beforehand or not. He says, Amrlei, zechibor v'ze'eno chibor. This, when it comes to the beis savor and the cloak, that was connected. That was sewn together. This was already something separated. Rashi says, ze the beis hatsavor hayachibor. It was connected. Hilkach pasach tikun chodesh uze. He's making a new hole. Right. He's making a clean of al hamagufa, but the barrel itself, afa pisha tocha al pia chavis. Even though the magufa is the lid, even though the magufa is sealed onto the barrel, betit, with the cement, with whatever, with lime, ein zechibor. That's not connected. You took something else and then affixed it to it. Taking that off is not considered being mistaken kli. So that goes into the whole shaila about opening bottles, opening bags, if you're making a kli, not making kli. Okay, we'll stop here because tomorrow, the next one, it really continues all the way down to the Mishnah. Have an excellent day.
It did.
Right. 600.